Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Sustainer, the Holy Spirit, be with you now and always. Amen. So as I get started this morning, I want to share a couple of pictures with you. The first one should be coming up. Some of you might know that my son, Connor, is about to graduate from Millikan University with a music theater degree coming in May. And over Christmas break, he was here, but prior to being here, he got the chance to travel with his girlfriend who lives in New Jersey to New York and see a few Broadway shows. Well, his girlfriend's parents have a few connections, and they got to see three shows while I was there, and then, through that connection, got up on one of the stages, and there he is. You can see what kind of reaction he had. That's joy. If you can't see it, Missy and I, as his parents, can confirm that this is Connor over the moon, joyful smile and look. And then the week after Christmas, I had an old high school friend come into town from Texas. His niece was getting married in Lafayette, so he wanted to visit and catch up. I had not seen him since I presided at his wedding almost 7 years ago. Well, we got to talking, and that led to looking at old high school pictures. And yes, this next picture coming up is me and my friend in high school after our spring musical. I was Chico and he was Harpo Marx. These pictures remind me of times when the world seems right, joyful. They were not perfect times by any means, but these are pictures of joy. And everything seems to be right. Maybe it's a sense of belonging that we feel, being part of something, a sense of having a place and knowing that that place is right. And I think we can all relate. There are times like these in our lives when we make a connection and we feel like we fit in. Yet also the opposite is true. When things are not right, when we feel as if we don't fit in, when we feel we don't belong, when we feel excluded. For me as a child, one of those times was when, you can get rid of that picture now, Michael. Please, thank you. So a time that I did not feel included was one of those times when I was in Little League Baseball. I probably have shared this before. I wasn't very good, and I really wasn't made to feel welcome on the team. I didn't feel right. It didn't feel right to be there. And even though my dad and my brother helped me practice, even though they did their best to prepare me, baseball was something I never felt comfortable doing. And the kids were the worst. Name calling, laughing, all that. And in addition to my insecurity, brought on all kinds of anxiety. And unfortunately, as I grew up in the Lutheran church, that church had a parochial school. And during Sunday school, the children who attended the congregation as well as that school, they would sit in their own desks that they had during the day or during the week. Well, the rest of us, a few of us, didn't attend school there. So after everybody else sat down, then we would fill in the empty desks. This again caused a few of us to feel like outsiders. I guess I shouldn't speak for others. It made me feel like an outsider, not really welcome, more like an afterthought. And as a result, I didn't like Sunday school very much, yet more than baseball. It was difficult to feel a sense of connection to church as a child. And we know that children and adults feel that way today about church. But it appears that Samuel also felt the struggle to make a connection. We're told in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Which seems odd. that Samuel did not know the Lord yet. I mean, feel that he was included, to feel that connection. Because he was living in the temple. Now, his mother Hannah had prayed to God for a child, and after giving birth to Samuel, she was so grateful that she sent him to the temple under the watch of Eli to be raised and to serve there. So Samuel was more than likely in training to be a priest. And if Samuel stayed in the temple, he would have at least witnessed all the workings of the priests and the chief priests. So why would he not yet know the Lord or the word of the Lord? Maybe he wasn't at confirmation age? Now, but one would really think that if he was living in the temple, he might have been included in some of the rituals or services or worship within the temple. And someone might have explained that God comes to us through life and the gifts of the earth, that we reflect God's love by loving others and showing mercy and forgiveness. Yet it's key to remember that at the very beginning of the verse, it states that now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. If you could go to the next slide, I think. Yeah. Those in rare days, visions were not widespread. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Wait a minute. So on face value, one might think that God had gone quiet, not making God's presence known. On the other hand, as I read this today, I wonder if those religious leaders, Eli, the chief priest, and his sons, who were also priests, colleagues, co-workers actually, were not aware of God's presence in the everyday workings of the Holy Spirit. Maybe visions and the word of the Lord was present, but they were too consumed with their own interests to notice God's presence around them. So God calls out to Samuel, and Samuel thinks, it's Eli. So he runs to Eli to see what he needs. Of course, it's not Eli that is calling, and after the third time this happens, Eli tells Samuel what to do. When Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy, therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. I don't think this was a good tingle for Eli and his sons because they were about to be demoted in a serious manner. But I wonder what Samuel felt like. Here's a boy who did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, but now he was hearing directly from God. This boy who was disconnected was then connected. Samuel was the recipient of God's word, welcomed by God, having not known him before. And Samuel would go on to be one of the most trustworthy prophets, speaking on God's behalf and anointing kings. We hear something similar in our gospel today. Nathanael, not knowing, not being connected, but then being connected and then knowing God. As we hear from John's gospel, Jesus is calling his disciples. Now, previous to our reading today is when John the Baptist sees Jesus walking by and declares Jesus is the Lamb of God. And a couple of John's disciples hear him say this and follow Jesus. And when Jesus sees them following, he asks, what are you looking for? And then they reply, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and see. Three simple words, three inviting words, three welcoming words, come and see. Now we know that Andrew was one of the two disciples who hear John talk about Jesus, and then Andrew goes and finds his brother Simon. And they both go to Jesus, and Jesus, that's where he renames Simon, Peter. All that happens before our gospel reading for today. So now we enter our gospel for today, and these three simple inviting words take root in other disciples. Jesus decides to go to Galilee, and he finds Philip, and he says to him, "Follow me." Philip responds, but he doesn't only want to go by himself. He wants to share that good news, and he finds Nathanael. Just as Andrew found Peter, Philip is moved so much he wants to share the invitation of Jesus with someone, and he finds Nathanael. Now, when Nathanael tells, I'm sorry, when Peter, when Philip finally tells Nathanael that they have found the one about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, the Jesus, the son of Nazareth. Wow, it's a cold, cold day in West Lafayette. When Philip tells Nathanael, finally, that they found the one, that Jesus is the son of Joseph from Nazareth, Nathanael replies with this judgmental, callous question: how can anything good come from or come out of Nazareth? I have to ask myself, why is Nathanael so judgy? Well, maybe he's a little jaded. Maybe he didn't have a good or great even Little League experience either. Maybe he didn't feel like he fit in or ever made a connection. Like Samuel, maybe Nathanael did not know the Lord or the word of the Lord. Maybe that had not yet been revealed to him. In Dr. Corey Driver's podcast, Moving Forward, he talked about in the Synoptic Gospels, the other three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we don't find the name Nathanael in the listing of the disciples. The name we do find right after Philip is Bartholomew. Now we know that people carry different names in Scripture. Jesus changes names. We saw that already. But sometimes individuals would have a Hebrew and or a Greek name. So there's a theory that Nathanael could have been AKA Bartholomew. And if so, then he probably belonged to a multicultural family. Now, Dr. Corey Driver goes into it much more, so you can look that up, see me if you want to see it. But to cut to the chase, the name Bartholomew was a Greek name, and therefore Nathanael Bartholomew could have had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. We can assume growing up in a multicultural family back then was even more difficult than it is today. Similarly, a biracial person or a child at any time would find it hard to fit in, not feeling they were accepted by either culture or race. So feeling the eyes of judgment on him his whole life might have prompted his judgmental, callous question when told about the Messiah coming from Nazareth. Yet here's what the love of God does. Philip said to him, "Just come and see." Philip does not argue with Nathanael. He doesn't try to convince Nathanael. He doesn't list all of the good qualities of Jesus. He doesn't tell Nathanael that he'll end up going to hell if he doesn't listen. He doesn't tell Nathanael to study harder or pray more or to even be better. He just looks at him and invites him and says, "Come and see." Then Jesus, as he sees Nathanael approaching him, said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael, confused, asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree, Philip. Nathanael, before Philip called you. And Nathanael's reply is somewhat incredible, right? He exclaims, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Seems like a little bit of an overreaction. But Nathanael just heard Jesus say, I see you, Nathanael. I mean, the location under the fig tree was important because it's a fact. Many commentaries agree that the fig tree was a place where rabbis would teach, and therefore pupils would find shade under these trees to study. But what I think spurred Nathanael's reaction to Jesus' words was the fact that Jesus sees him. God sees us. God claims us. God loves us. Jesus' words to Nathanael cut through the bullying and the laughing of others, the biases and the prejudices of groups, the oppression and the victimization of governments that Nathanael and others like him endured for a lifetime. Nathanael heard from the lips of God that he was a beloved child in whom there is no deceit. Come and see. The creator of the world sees you and loves you. Can we let the insecure child in all of us hear that? Can we let the bullied, anxious child who doesn't fit in well hear that God loves them? Can we let our hurting world, our multicultural world, our world with minorities, our LGBTQIA plus siblings hear that God loves them? In them there is no deceit. I think Nathanael's reaction is right on. God is the one who will bring the pompous mountains down and lift up the oppressed valleys. We are the ones, church, we are the ones who get to invite others to come and see. Three simple, inviting, welcoming words that can do so much. Who can we invite to come and see this year? How can we help people connect to God without arguing, but rather just inviting, come and see? How can we connect with others, invite them to come and see? God sees them for who God made them to be. God sees you for who God made you to be. God has searched them out and knows them. They are marvelously made, knit together by God in their mother's womb. And we are all loved. Come and see. Amen.